If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What time is it?
Ba-ba-da-ba. You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Our boy, Jake Thompson, in Dallas all week. He was there on Monday for Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, Trey Harris, Jackson Dart, Jared Ivey. Everyone there, high marks from pretty much across the board. Everybody that I talked to that was there. I talked to a couple people in the industry that did some interviews with the Ole Miss guys and said that they were impressive. Said that they were professionals, and Lane Kiffin definitely had him trained up on how to handle the media, and we'll get into that and more with Jake. Before I do that, as always, I want to remind you, this show each and every day is brought to you by our friends at College Corner. 3 locations now: Ridgeland, Flowood, and the brand spanking new one in Oxford on Sisk Avenue. 4,000 plus square feet, fantastic. Scott and the folks take care of us, and they will take care of you. If you need to get some tailgating supplies, as you know, Media Days is kind of the unofficial start to the college football season. So it'll be here before you know it. So you need to up your game in the Grove. Go see them. If you need to up your closet before the season starts, you can go there and get you some polos. They've got Realtree gear. They've got Realtree tumblers. They've got everything at College Corner. 3 locations, once again: Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. And if you can't get there in person, check them out online, collegecornerstore.com. All right, let's bring in our guy, Jake. He is still there, but he was there on Monday seeing Ole Miss. Jake, how we doing, man?
I'm doing well, Zach. Thanks for, I guess this is my first time on, so hopefully I do good enough to come back the next time.
Yeah, long overdue, but you're here. So, yeah, I saw Lane Kiffin at the podium. A lot of big picture questions. I think everybody knows that by now, right? Everybody knows that that's what Lane prefers. And then you had a chance to talk with all the guys in the breakout sessions, but just first impressions of, we talked about it on our show Monday. This is kind of a different, you know, kind of territory for Ole Miss. They're the hunted now. They're not the hunter. our guy Dusty Dvorak must have listened to the show because he said the same thing. It's very different. But what was Monday like?
Yeah, you know, at Ole Miss, kind of the bell of the ball, maybe just out of pure curiosity of what is, you know, we've been writing about it, talking about it, and you watch whatever you want to call it, that spring game, spring grow ball stuff. So, you know, didn't get really to see much of actual football. So today was the first day to just see them in person and talk to them. And, you know, it's kind of like a lot of newness, as you said. Ole Miss historically and Ole Miss fans are not used to being at the Georgia, Alabama type level of conversation on July the 15th. And that's what they were today. And, you know, you talked about some of the high praise. I think Jordan Rogers said Dart was his pick for the Heisman contender, yeah, or one of the two. And so, you know, it's just weird sentences that Ole Miss is not used to hearing this early, but it's just a testament to, and it's kind of the theme Lane said was, you had good guys that came in from the portal, but you're bringing them in with good guys that stayed, and you've got a roster of a lot of good guys. Now there's depth that's got to get sorted out, but your ones and kind of one B's are, you know, are there for all this hype to be justified.
Yeah, I think it's new territory. It's rat poison all over the place. I'm sure Lane was hating it, but the players have been trained up on how to handle that. But yeah, I don't know. We on our show Monday, Grayson and I were kind of talking about it. You know, Kiffin and Ole Miss have earned this. This is not a fluke. This is not, you know, well, Ole Miss is kind of flashy and they're fun and Kiffin does the Twitter stuff, but like there's not many buts anymore, right?
Yeah, no, it's you know, kind of the put up or shut up kind of thing this year, especially, yeah, just, you know, like I said, it's big picture expectations. It's not, well, let's get to 9 wins or 10 wins and see what fun Florida bowl game we can go to or squeak into a, you know, a New Year's Six. It's, you better be playing first or second round game of a playoffs in early December or second week of it, or all of this was for naught. And we, you know, and it kind of, they've embraced that, but they've also put it out there with their, you know, the last dance and all the little catchphrases and kind of themes they put with it. And, you know, I think you're right. They showed it. They're not all just flash and sizzle with the tweets and the quips. They've got guys that can handle this. I mean, it was Jackson Dart's first time. You know, Kiffin's never brought a quarterback since Corral, you know, because he's had those quote unquote quarterback battles and didn't want to tip a hand or whatever, even though we all probably knew it was going to be number two out there every time. But for him, he felt like this was his third one in a row. I mean, there was just the confidence is there. And you've got Trey Harris, who just is confident no matter what you ask him about or what you're talking about. And Jared Ivey, as we see on here almost every week or close to it, he's media savvy and he embraces all this. So it was like watching a Alabama with Nick Saban in tow or a Georgia with the Kirby Smart bringing his guys in. Just be like, we're the guys, we're the big dog, so to speak. And today kind of felt like that. It was an early slow start. You had LSU and then Shane Beamer with South Carolina. Then kind of got a little interesting once Ole Miss rolled in and everybody kind of perked up.
In the breakout session, how was Lane? I know obviously just a tough weekend with the passing of his father. You know, I kind of thought briefly that, just because I don't know the time frame and the logistics of it, but I thought maybe the SEC might move him. but then I kind of thought to myself, you know, Monty Kiffin, you know, Lane was probably thinking, my dad would want me to go. My dad would want me to be there. Because he said that a lot. You know, that's, his dad was, you know, a professional and always talked, you know, Kiffin mentioned it today. Never have a bad day. Always be happy. Always have a smile on your face. So, yeah, it made a lot of sense for him to go and do it and not, you know, worry about that. And not that Lane did. I was just kind of thinking to myself, well, maybe they'll move it out of respect or just if they do have a funeral. But outside of all of that, you know, I know Commissioner Sankey asked him to tell a couple stories to kind of get it out of the way and then move on. But after that and after his opening statement and being in the big room, what was he like in the breakout sessions?
We got him before we got the media room, got him, and we were trying to ask that just some aid to kind of get it before the everybody else, so to speak, just to see, check the temperature on him. But he told us, I'll address it out there, and we didn't know that meant that Sankey had already asked him to kind of allot his time for that. So that I understood it after the fact. But once you asked that out, got that out of the way, it was back to kind of how we've always been with him, talking about the season. And he is, you're right, he said it out in the main room and to us. My dad said, do your job and show up every day. And, you know, that's what he said. I'm here to talk about Ole Miss football. Not, you know, not really deflecting in a negative way, but just like we're here today to talk about these three guys and their teammates and the season. And then, you know, and the rest of that will come on Friday. I think when they have that, you know, the service, and then I think they're having another service on Friday or a Saturday in Tampa for the family. So that he's trying to put all that on hold for the week and take care of what he was asked to today. And that was the demeanor he carried about.
I know last year it was big and the year before too. I feel like most questions that Kiffin would get, most questions Ole Miss centric were about the portal, about NIL, about, you know, branding and, you know, cause that's kind of Ole Miss's thing. And Lane Kiffin's been super successful with it, but with Ole Miss being, you know, one of the teams, one of, you know, it's pretty much it. You look around the country, it's Georgia, it's Ole Miss, it's Texas, it's Alabama. I mean, those are kind of the big three or four in the conference. But, you know, how different were, you know, like your peers and everybody else asking those questions? I'm sure there were some portal questions, but, you know, could you sense a kind of a shift with everyone else? Like, oh, like Ole Miss is here, they've arrived kind of thing?
Yeah, no, it wasn't the you did this in the portal. Tell us how you did it. It wasn't like that kind of marvel of what he accomplished. It's, you know, they know what he can do and what he's done. And now it was, you know, how are you going to get to where you were saying we're all expecting you to be, and asking, you know, the big national title, the SEC, you know, Atlanta, those kind of questions. And it wasn't so much there, all right, you figured out this fun new toy that's the portal and the NIL, but it was actual football. How are you going to handle certain personnel? I mean, they asked, you know, he got asked about Quinshon Judkins, losing him and filling him in with Bentley and Parrish. So it was actual kind of X's and O's type questions. And it wasn't so much, oh, you landed Walter Nolan, how did you do that? You know, that amazement's gone. And I think that's a sign of respect. It's not I don't think it's a dismissive thing. It's a, yeah, like you said, they've proven, you know, it was weird to see because, you know, yeah, usually he is kind of the gimmick, so to speak. It's all right, you've got Lane, and what is he going to say, or the quips and the Saban answers or lack thereof. But, and then that's all you kind of care about. But today it was the whole package. It was Dart. They have the breakout for the players after the coach speaks in the main room for the rest of the media in three different areas. And Dart's was packed 20 minutes before he was even walking in the door. People were getting over there. And Ivy as well. And then they all came to Trey after they got through there. So it was, they were the attractions. It wasn't the fun one-liners and how short is Kiffin's opening statement going to be to keep up with others. So it was weird to see a more business-like approach from our end of it, of the table as well, because, you know, when Kiffin's on the podium, you never know what kind of question you're going to get, but it was all serious. And, you know, this may come out wrong, but I think addressing Monty and keeping it respectful and serious at the front end and honoring his father, I think set the tone for the rest of his time at the podium.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's kind of they preach pro mindset and all of that. I think that's kind of what they emulated on Monday with, you know, I talked to a couple people that were there, a couple national radio guys, and they're like, man, they were great. They were prepared. They had great answers. It was a very, you know, a business like, and there's nothing wrong with guys that go and have fun at media days. They're just super laid back, but you know, you can be both, right? And that's kind of the vibe that I got from the people that I talked to. They're like, man, you know, this Dart guy, like, just super likable and, you know, very charismatic, but also, you know, about business. Ivy, we know about Jared. I mean, he does his own show. He's a natural, super talented guy. But, you know, yeah, I think that three guys that are older, experienced, really kind of carried the flag for Ole Miss. And Trey Harris, too. Like, he's not super chatty. But, yeah, nothing but high marks for all three guys. Was there any kind of main takeaways from the three in the breakout sessions? Anything that might have stuck out to you?
That they just all got, you know, we talked to them separately, but they were all in the room for Dart. We got Ivy first, and then Trey came in, and we got Dart at the end. So they were all in the back of – the other two were in the back of the room. But when talking with Dart and kind of joking and seeing, he would kind of play along with the with his video game likeness that looks just like him, by the way, that – And yeah. Trey Harris throughout it, they got his mullet right. And so we mentioned the Dart that Trey said they at least got your mullet right, which is, doesn't even look like a mullet. But he looked back at Trey and they kind of had a playful, like there is that, you know, it's cliche, but there is at least the three of them, that there's a bond, a kind of like a brotherhood. And it's not like the cliche, put it on a wall, on a poster in a field house and say brotherhood. They all know each other. They've been around each other for a couple of years now. And so I think that was part of it, and is there is a that cohesiveness that we're usually asking Lane about now for the season, and there's probably still some with the portal guys, but I think having it all goes back to having all these guys come back that played last year together kind of sets the foundation of showing what the newcomers, all right, this is what we've already got, don't disrupt this, add to it. And I think that's part of what we saw today, is we're just building on what they saw. And I kind of went 100%. I was flexible when they announced the guys that are coming. I think I talked with you about it. I think a lot of guys today said we could have seen JJ in that Jared Ivy spot. Both of those were deserving. But after watching Jared and kind of how he carried himself, I think this was, you know, both were great, but Jared may have kind of put the cherry on top of the ice cream for him.
Yeah, I thought that we might see JJ Pegues, and that kind of made a lot of sense, you know, the hometown hero type deal. But yeah, I think the three that were there, from everybody that I spoke with and from what I've seen on Twitter and other people that were there covered it, it seems like they did a great job.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we get to the final segment here, we're going to talk with Jake about the newcomers in the SEC and kind of get his quick thoughts on the season. Because I know that I see a lot of people hammering the over for 9.5 wins. But before we do that, I do want to remind you, the show is also brought to you by our good friends at USA Benefits Group, Drew Moak, and the folks over there do a fine job cutting those health insurance premiums 20 to 30%. If you're aging into Medicare, you need help finding a supplement plan, you can call Drew 601-953-8449. He's an Ole Miss grad. He's located in Mississippi, but he's also licensed in 7 states as well. So he's not relegated to just Mississippi. He can help you if you're elsewhere. He works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage and has access to 35 carriers. So he's got a lot of different avenues that he could go to help you out. Regular health plans, life insurance, dental, vision, Medicare, all of it is covered by Drew and USA Benefits Group. You can get a free quote by calling him again, 601-953-8449, or you can reach him usabg.com/DMOAK. And like I said, get that free quote. Show is also brought to you by our friends at Roback. Check them out, roback.com. If you haven't tried them, I highly suggest it. I'm rocking the lightweight hoodie. The polos are fantastic. I love the collar. Whether you're playing golf, whether you're hanging out at home, they're comfy. They can be formal, you know, business casual, or they can just be, you know, lounging, running some errands, all that. The fit's great. You can tuck them in, you can leave them untucked. It still looks great. So I'm a huge fan. You can go, they got t-shirts, they got shorts, and the polos and the lightweight hoodies. Like I said, you can't go wrong. Roback.com. When you go, before you hit checkout, make sure to use promo code JUICE and you get 20% off your first purchase. That's Roback at Roback.com. Crave activity. All right. 16 teams now in the SEC. I know that was kind of the big storyline for day one, you know, welcoming Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know how much you got around and talked to people, but what's kind of the sense? I know Texas is like Ole Miss is kind of the new kid on the block, but they're kind of the big dog. With aspirations to get to an SEC championship game, get to the college football playoff. And then Oklahoma, you know, trying to make a name for itself in the SEC. Brett Venables is still trying to build that program back up to where it was with Lincoln Riley. But what were some takeaways from the two newcomers?
Shane Beamer got asked some Oklahoma stuff. Obviously, there's a connection there. And so he kind of handled the brunt of the newcomer type questions. There were some Texas writers who were asked, you know, I know they asked Brian Kelly his thoughts on Texas, even though they weren't playing him this year, still his thoughts. So they were still the talk of the town, the buzz, and they'll only get bigger. I think Oklahoma is day two, so they'll be coming through on Tuesday, and in Texas, I believe, right after on Wednesday. So it's going to build up, but yeah, you know, the buzz is Texas is one of those four that, you know, everybody's rattling off for the SEC at the top of Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, and then Alabama still because they're Alabama, and you know, they've got to be proven otherwise. And then Oklahoma is that school that's, you know, used to be, you say Oklahoma, you'd be thinking like a Texas, a Georgia, or an Alabama, but now they're a school trying to find their way with Venables, trying to get things going there, and what can they do in this new SEC? And, you know, I think even Lane asked, and he said, well, you know, it's not like Oklahoma was in a, you know, cream puff conference before they came to the SEC. They're used to this kind of stuff. But now it's 15 other teams that are kind of all the same in terms of toughness or just any given, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But everybody that was asked or kind of talked about it, they felt obviously they're equipped to carry water or stay above water and find success. And, you know, that's going to be interesting once we get going. How do those two programs do? Because I think Texas and Sarkisian are fine. But I think everybody is more interested in seeing what does Oklahoma do this first season. But then carrying on, once they get some years under their belt in this conference, can they kind of hang with how everybody else is succeeding, which is the NIL and transfer portal and all that. So, you know, they have the potential to get back to where they were, but they got to show it.
Ole Miss plays one of those teams, Oklahoma, big home game. It'll be actually, I don't think a lot of people realize it. It'll only be the second time that Ole Miss and Oklahoma have played. The first time was in the Independence Bowl in 99. The last game before the year 2000, back when everybody thought that all computers and everything were going to crash and all of that. But I mentioned the 9.5. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, hammer over, no question. I'm one of those people. I know we'll give our official predictions at some point before the season begins, but just a, you know, a quick glimpse into to your mind and what you think about this 2024 team. You can give me a win-loss record if you want, but how do you kind of see the regular season shaking out? We don't have to get too deep into, you know, conference championship or college football playoff, but just out of the 12 regular season games, where do you see Ole Miss?
Yeah, you know, I think 9.5 is right there because I think they could easily be 9-3 or 10-2, and you know they could even be 11-1. I mean, but I think 9-10 is that safe kind of safety net, just because I think they have the potential to get another double digit win season. But I think after I watch them against Kentucky and then South Carolina, once we get to mid October, I think I'll feel better about where I think they are, just because you expect them to be 4-0, and then you expect them, at least on paper, to take care of Kentucky at home to kick off the SEC. But we're creeping up. It's going to be like 2 weeks, week and a half from being on the day 15 years later that they go to Carolina on the road and probably still top 10, if not closer to top 5. And Ole Miss fans know where they were on 2009 on that Thursday night. They probably couldn't turn off. That's probably the fastest that a lot of people turned an Ole Miss game off. But, you know, but yeah, that's building up to be almost identical situation, different coaches, different players, different situation, but still mirroring where, right, can they do it this time? Can they get past that? Because if they can, then you got that night game, at least dusk game at Tiger Stadium looming to, you know, so I think mid-October is we're going to have a good idea. But and then we talked about it, that Oklahoma game, you know, second time ever. And we thought that'd be the Kiffin Levy Bowl. When he was still there, but now we know that that's going to happen at the end of the year and a kind of a maybe a bigger deal, especially on Ole Miss's end, depending on that last game of the season with the Egg Bowl. But yeah, I mean, 10-2 gets you in, you know, as long as like that one of those twos is not a stub your toe up in Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. If it's against like the Georgia or the LSU, that a lot of people are thinking that might be the second game is LSU, if not Oklahoma, because I think that gets them in. Now, that means they're probably going to have to go all the way, run the gambit. That's not going to get you a first round bye, but I do think that we're still talking about college football playoff stuff late into the season, or if not that, seeding for sure.
Last thing, it's been, you, I've heard it a lot, and kind of the phrase, you know, college football playoff or bust. I'm not ready to say it's a failure if Ole Miss doesn't make the college football playoff, but I also think it would be remarkably shocking if it doesn't, just because if Ole Miss is not at least, because I think 10-2 probably gets you in. 9-3 is pushing it, but 10-2 should, with the schedule, being an SEC program. I think depending on who the losses are to, I think 10-2 gets you in. But I've heard people say, you know, it'd be a failure if you don't get there. But I think Ole Miss is going to get into the college football playoff. I don't think that's too far-fetched to say at this point. The odds, according to Vegas, are pretty good. But I don't know. What do you think when you hear that, when you hear people say that?
You know, I think disaster is – it's one of those where you can evaluate that at the end of the season. Like, how did they get to that? Like, if they go 9-3, what were those three losses and how bad was it? Like, did those come at the front end and they were just limping? And, you know, all hope was kind of gone by late October and you're just trying to finish the season? Or is it a skin at your teeth, you lose a game, you should, you know, close game, competitive game, and it just didn't go your way, and that's how you get to 9-3 instead of 10-2 or better? So I think – but, yeah, if we're sitting here, it's, you know, if they're 7-5 and we're done with the season and the Vegas Bowl early December or something like that, then, yeah, it's all the effort that they put in and everything that myself included, all of us, have hyped them up and written about, that would be a disaster. But, you know, I'm like you and everybody else today is – if they had to say that SEC got four teams in and you could pick them now, Ole Miss is in that group to be in that new 12-team format. And, you know, that's the best thing that happened, was it expanding for them, you know, going from 4 to 12 or to 12. And, you know, it fits that their situation right now, that it gives them a lot more wiggle room. And, you know, Ole Miss can never have enough wiggle room or margin for error. And so I think this is the year that they can take advantage of that. And, you know, who's to say they're not sitting here 11-1? They lose to Georgia, but they get everything else done. And we're sitting here figuring out what those tiebreakers are going to be. And are they one of the one or two teams that gets to Atlanta and see what happens? So it's weird to say, and maybe a cop out, but it's like a gambit of options that can happen for them. And all of them, when I, you know, kind of makes sense if once we watch it play out.
Yeah. That's not out of the realm of possibility at all. I think 11-1 is certainly on the table. If everybody stays healthy, I think Oklahoma at home is very winnable. Oklahoma has a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. I don't think that's too crazy to think that Ole Miss at home, where Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss have been very good the last 4 years. And then you go on the road to LSU, sure, it's Death Valley, it's going to be tough, but new quarterback, there's no Brian Thomas, no Malik Nabers. LSU still has issues defensively. Ole Miss took LSU's running back. I think on paper, Ole Miss is the favorite in that game.
The Vegas is saying 6.5, I think, or something like that. Maybe not that much. Maybe thinking about the Georgia game, but I think LSU's either a pick 'em or it's something like that. But I'm like you. I think an LSU game is the toughest. I know everybody's saying, well, probably right now, hold up, what about Arkansas? At Arkansas, I think Ole Miss is head and shoulders above Arkansas right now. 11 a.m. It's not that weird nighttime game where they just struggle, but I think Fayetteville is going to be okay for them this year. I'm with you, and not to interrupt you there, but I agree with that I think it's LSU and Georgia, the two you look out for.
Yeah. And I know people are going to say, well, what about the Swamp? What about Florida? Game's late in the year. It's going to be hard. What will Florida look like? Will Billy Napier still be the coach? I mean, that schedule is so nuts. They could easily go 5-1, 6-0, I believe. I don't have it in front of me, but the second half of that schedule sucks. It's brutal. So it's almost like you could start out 5-1. I think that's what it is, 5-1 or 6-0. You know, maybe they lose one, you're ranked, and then you just fall just flat on your face to end the year. I've had a lot of people tell me that if Billy Napier doesn't get to 8 wins, that he's in trouble. And again, tough road environment, kind of like LSU. But I just think on paper, Ole Miss, it's weird to say, this year. I mean, on paper, Ole Miss is better than just about everybody. Games aren't played on paper, but it's a nice change of pace for sure. What's kind of on the docket the rest of the week? You got any barbecue aspirations? I know that they've got a night at the movies thing with the SEC and the Saturday Night Lights documentary that the SEC Network's doing. What else you got going on in Dallas?
I probably got to hit up barbecue. I didn't do that yet. That's my fault for not mapping out the barbecue scene. Probably on the drive home for sure, get a Whataburger because I guess that's the Texas thing for fast food. But I'm looking forward to the rest of it and just kind of seeing what happens. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see the Texas stuff in Texas because we've always seen the Alabama stuff in Hoover or you know, at the in at the Galleria, so to speak. So I think that'll be interesting. You haven't seen a lot of fans. It's not, you know, I guess with the way it's just set up, there was not a lot of fans in the lobby that I saw. I could be wrong because I was upstairs once it got started, but you know, the way that the setup in Hoover was, you were just right there in the lobby and you had to go through everything to get to where you were going. And Alabama guy with the hat, you know, the championship ring hat, yeah, and all that. So it's it was different in that regard. It felt more like it was just a conference you're at, not a media day. So I'm sure that'll change as the Texases and the big names start rolling in.
Yeah, I don't know how that – maybe the Alabama people are just kind of in mourning because Saban's no longer the coach. Saban is there. Forgot his credential day one. Hey, good on security. No holds barred with security. No exceptions. You're like everybody else now, Saban.
Yeah, I'm sure they got it. Whichever security guard was that, got a good kick out of that because I would assume he might know, or you may have ran into a nice, tough old lady who has no clue who Nicholas Saban is and just said, you're not getting in without that laminate.
I was watching on TV this morning. Apparently, the security guard that turned him away and told him he had to go get his credential, I don't remember the name. Apparently, he was a former four-star prospect. The folks on the desk on SEC Now were joking and asking Saban, like, did you not offer this guy? Like, is he's like still mad at you? Like, what's the deal? But
that's why
pretty
you're
funny.
Always, you send at least a postcard to every player that covers it all the time.
well, Jake, we appreciate the time, man. That's our guy, Jake Thompson, in Dallas on the ground at SEC Media Days. He will have coverage from Media Days all week at omspirit.com. Check it out. We will have more as the week goes on. We'll have more podcasts for you. The MLB draft is wrapping up. As of now, knock on wood, it looks like Ole Miss is going to potentially get out unscathed the rest of the way with their signing class, which is great news. I have to double check. I do not believe Cade Townsend has been drafted. That was kind of the big one that Ole Miss was waiting on. And now it'll be kind of a wait and see for the current Rebels. What's that pitching staff going to look like in 2025? But as of now, I haven't seen or heard anything about any other players being drafted.
Yeah, it was, you know, what we expected happened early, or not early, but in the first round last night with Slade. And you're right, it's been quiet. I know Jackson Ross got taken. Good for him. He wasn't coming back, so that was good that the Nationals, I think, got him in the ninth round, if I'm trying to remember correctly. And then right before we started this, recently, Riley Maddux did the I'm Back video that everybody has. He has their own little announcement videos tweeted out. So that's one of your ones that you and I kind of both were writing about leading up to, and Ben as well, that can they – do they want to come back, and can they get them to come back? And they've got some NIL to work with after some other unfortunate developments. So that's the first domino of current Rebels to fall. We'll see how tomorrow goes, and I'm sure it'll be a trickle out and wait the rest of the week after tomorrow when it wraps up with some names you're waiting on.
Absolutely. We will have full coverage of that. Again, appreciate Jake's time as he had a busy, busy day. He will be there all week. Jake, enjoy Dallas. Hey, if you see our guy Andy Staples, just ask him. Just say, hey, where do I need to go for barbecue? He will tell you.
I saw him today, but I was mid conversation and I lost him. He got the phone call thing and took off. So I'll track him down now.
I'm pretty sure he has just like a a Google map of barbecue in his brain, so he could just tell you where to go. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Flagship. Appreciate Jake joining us. Appreciate you guys joining us as well. And as always, shout out to College Corner, USA Benefits Group, Roback, and everybody else that makes this show possible. We'll be back later this week with more podcasts. And like I said, stick to omspirit.com. We will have Media Days coverage and MLB draft coverage as well. So for Jake over there, I'm Zach. This has been the Flagship. Until next time, we out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.